1515 app probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables to Raw, the Bag, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and what was just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Starter Pro.
It's Miller back, bitch.
Raw took place. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Raw took place in New Orleans.
That's where my family from. Well, Baton Rouge to be exact, but I got family in New Orleans. Shout out to my fam out there, all them crumps.
Yeah. What's up? Speaking of that voodoo and shit.
Creole blood.
Speaking of that voodoo, they shrink your drawers. You better be careful.
You said what?
They shrink your drawers. You better be careful.
Oh. Yeah. Look, I just want the food. I want some shrimp at Tuesday.
Oh, man.
What's that restaurant we went to that one time? Seven on Heaven?
Yeah. That turtle soup was off. You know, I think they closed now. That turtle soup was off the chain. Yup.
Gotta go to Papa Do's, dude.
No, they got a place called Mojo's in Plainfield.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Didn't we go for my birthday or something? Nah, somebody's birthday.
Yeah. I can't remember, man. But, yo, look. Yeah, if you want to go to Papa Do's, you get that swamp thing. That motherfucker off the chain.
Get some alligator.
Yeah, get you some gator, obviously. You know, like you said, a shrimp etouffee. You know, all that good shit. All that shit to keep. Get you talking that voodoo.
Get you talking.
Yeah, playing with bones and shit. Let me stop. Go put a root on you. Shit. But anyway, New Orleans, you know, you got the Saints, the Pelicans.
Is there still an AFL Arena Football League team, the New Orleans Voodoo?
Fuck, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. Not even gonna lie to you. There's nothing else really. I'm trying to think of any team. I mean, probably some random league baseball teams. I mean, I don't know, man.
No, ain't no baseball teams. Mardi Gras though. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, Mardi Gras, Bourbon Street.
Just for the experience, I say everybody should go to Bourbon Street and just check it out. The first time I went to Bourbon Street, I probably was only like 13 and my uncle had me out there I was like, what in the world is going on out here?
Not your crowd, not somewhere you supposed to have been at that age, I tell you that.
Well, we were out there for a family reunion but look, there were other kids. That's the thing, there were other kids. You know what I'm saying?
But you got adult people doing adult things.
Adult men. Adult things everywhere, bro. What you told?
Yeah.
I never let Ari go out there. Shit.
Yeah. Yep. Shit. Because I know my girls went, and then they end up, I forgot where Tiffany took them. That'll let you know how bad my memory is, because she told me. Because she was like, just a little too much. But they got some beignets. Kids, they love the beignet. Shit. You know? But yeah, they did something else because it was just too much adult stuff going on. I just gotta put that out there.
Too much explaining. Don't look over there. Call your eye.
Yeah, shit. Take your ass to your room.
Look at the ground.
But anyway, man, let's move on. I've been feeling kind of under the weather.
I'm sorry, sir. Did you catch what I had before?
No, I ain't got that Ebola, but...
The Ebola?
Yeah, I got that. But I do got a nice little cold, and my head hurt, too. Got it right up in the sinuses, right up in that...
Oh, I'm sorry about that, sir. You know, I know all about that life.
Oh, yeah, man. Yep. I don't know if it's I think it's a cold, because it's just... I can't smell anything and shit. You know, if my sinuses act up, I can still smell anything, but I can't smell shit. Shit start to taste funny and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that cold boy. It's that change of weather, man. You know, in Chicago, we get that, especially around this time of year, we get that
cold
in the morning.
From nowhere.
It's that cold in the morning. So you jump in your car, you turn on the heat just to get it warmed up. But then as it get closer to the afternoon, then it get hot as shit. So you talk about you jump in your car, it's like 40, 50 degrees in the morning. And then in the afternoon, it's like 88. Then what the fuck? Like shit. Fucking with you. Yeah, because usually when it's hot outside during the summer in Chicago, it's probably going to start off around like 70-something degrees. And then get to 90 to 100. But yeah, no, nah, they ain't doing that right now. It's that cold-ass weather and then it get hot. I don't know why I get sick every year. And I know it's going to happen. That I just haven't learned my lesson. They can dress warm. That shit. That's why I should just dress warm. Just warm in the morning. Just warm in the morning, and I can let some layers off in the afternoon. I just don't know why I don't do it. I just be like, fuck that shit. But anyway, after I went on that long rant and I just said we need to hurry up, got a match to watch for.
I do. Actually, I'm coming from New Japan, surprise, surprise. But it was Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against Tomohiro Ishii and Will Ospreay. Uh-huh. Both representing Chaos. Omega and Ibushi representing Golden Lovers. Really, really great match. It goes to show you that even the road shows leading into the big show always mean something. This was a Road to Destruction Night 2 show. Yeah, I believe it was in Curtin Hall, but the match itself obviously is a build to Ishii versus Omega for the championship at Destruction, and it was just a really good all-around match. The best part of the match, though, wasn't even the exchanges between Omega and Ishii. The real, the real exciting part was to see Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay. Obviously, on paper, that sounds amazing, but within the match itself, their exchanges were great, and I hope it leads to some kind of singles match in the near future, because I really do think that Ospreay is going to be bumped up to the heavyweights. I think the reason why it hasn't happened as fast is after Hiromu was injured, they needed to fill that void for that, you know, the tournament with the past champions.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay. But I really do expect that Ospreay at this coming up San Francisco show, I believe it's on September 30th, Fighting Spirit Unleashed, I really believe that Marty Scurll is going to beat Ospreay, but we shall see. But nevertheless, Ishii, Ospreay versus the Golden Lovers, go ahead and check it out. Really, really, really good match.
All right. News and rumors?
It was kind of a slow week. One of the things that caught my eye, though, that I was reading about was a rumor about Almas, Andrade Almas, and how Vince McMahon views him. He actually, from what I've heard, is that he's impressed Vince McMahon to the point where Vince feels as though he can, you know, elevate him, or that he can be a key player. And the reason that is because, you know, with Vince, he sometimes throws you into spots. And, you know, the gist of it is he didn't know how Almas would do against AJ Styles, and he did well. Now, me and you, we're like, oh, we know he's going to be dope. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for whatever reason, Vince always needs that extra encouragement, I guess, on people. So long story short, Almas was really impressed with how him and Zelina worked with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. So from that,
why do you gotta be
I would expect
fucking,
this system.
It's Brie Bella. Fucking trash. My fault.
So from that, my assumption is that we're gonna see more of Almost
Brie
in
Bella
in the spotlight.
She fucking
that's gonna be dope.
Yeah. My bad. I just kinda
also
got mad over here. I apologize.
Yeah, kinda just kidding.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The NWA 70th anniversary show, I didn't get a date, so I apologize. I'll try to post a date for anybody who's in the Nashville area, but the headlining match for that is going to be a rematch between Cody and Nick Aldis for the NWA championship. Nick Aldis got his rematch by beating Doug Williams at the MediaCon shows this past weekend, I believe, in the UK. So that's going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Also this week, we got the Battle of Los Angeles coming up this weekend. It's like the number one indie tournament. I really wish it was on TV. Like, I wish there was a way to have this on TV so bad. Just because it has all the... I'm sorry?
Not going to be on a Fight Network?
Nope. you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has taken a huge stance on how they feel about their position. Like, they have said that, and they've stuck to it, that what they do is sell DVDs or, like, you know, online streams, obviously, from if you go through high spots. But they sell DVDs and online streams. They're not interested in TV. They're not interested in broadcasting live. They want to stay indie, and that's it. That's why they didn't move to bigger arenas. They were kind of forced to move to the Olympic Theater in L.A. based off of the VFW where they ran closing down. That's the only reason they moved to a bigger. They don't see the point. Okay. And I can respect that. If you have a business model that works and you don't, you know, your goal, not everybody's goal is to expand.
You just straight froze ECW. Up. You froze up. You saying something about ECW and shit. So, I don't know what's going on with that. But we'll what? Move on. I said you. Well, obviously you didn't hear what I said. I said you froze up, motherfucker. That's all I'm saying. Is you were saying something about ECW. So I'll be a professional moving the fuck on.
I thought you were like, why are you talking about ECW? I'm like, what? No, I said, much like ECWA, East Coast Wrestling Association, I believe is what it stands for. They're one of the oldest indie promotions, and they don't really expand, but they had one of the top tournaments, the Super 8 tournament. I believe that Tommaso Ciampa actually won that before. He's a previous winner. I know a lot of people have been in it, so I'm saying that to say that's PWG's game. That's what they do. So if you want to see Battle of Los Angeles, you got to wait. And you got to download it once it's available on High Spots, or you got to purchase tickets. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Major League Wrestling has their big War Games event. It's going to be on TV. I believe it was Sammy Callahan's team against Shane Strickland's team. That's going to be fun to watch, and it's a traditional War Games. I saw some clips. It looked really fun. I really like what Major League Wrestling is doing.
So
around the board. And then last two things, ROH is actually going to be streaming CMLL's 85th anniversary show for free through the Honor Club. That's going to be dope. So anybody who's not familiar with Lucha, wants to get into anything like that, go to the ROH's website, go on the Honor Club, sign up. I believe you get a month free for $9.99, and you'll be able to watch the 85th anniversary show. And then last but not least,
you just said that was last.
What?
You just said that was the last news.
No, I said last two.
Oh, okay.
My bad. Check in. No. but last but not least, Glow actually won an Emmy. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they won their first Emmy. Shout out to Glow.
I say they ain't started the second season yet. I haven't. I haven't started the second season yet.
Okay.
I need to start, though.
Well, when you do, I'm sure you're going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, I will. And Simone Johnson, if you don't know who Simone Johnson is, it's The Rock's daughter. She's part-time training at the Performance Center. How you feel about that?
Well, everybody deserves a shot. Look, I'm not faulting anybody on taking a shot to try to get into wrestling because one of my biggest regrets in life, not that I'm not happy I went to school and got my degree and all that. I'm proud of having a bachelor's, but I can honestly say I wish I would have gone to wrestling school. I really do. It's a regret I have. So anytime I see somebody who's like, this is what I want to do, and they do it, I'm all for it. I got your back.
Yeah.
To at least try.
Yeah. Did you see Tama Tonga trolling Brandi Rhodes? Talking about someone, who is you?
Who are you? Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that shit was hilarious, dog. I was rolling. I said Tama Tonga with the shits. Yeah.
But anyway, I love their exchanges. Really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he comes off as a real dick. Like, he just like, I'm an asshole and I don't give a shit. Yeah.
He said, ROH doesn't own Bullet Club. That's last time I checked, it's New Japan. And I was like, man, this dude's breaking the third wall.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just dope. I like it. I love it. It's building all that tension between the Bullet Club, their original members, and the ones that came in later on. And now they're going to be the firing squad and all that shit. I think they build a good story. But anyway. Yep, let's get to this, the quick hits. Quick hits time.
Quick hits!
Yep. We got the Shield confronted with Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre open up the show. After that, Nikki Bella defeated Ruby Riott. The Big Show introduced the Commerce Cure Superstars of Tomorrow. That was a real touching moment right there. After that, AOP defeat Ronnie Ace and Nathan Bradley. Triple H addresses The Undertaker. The Raw Tag Team Champions, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, defeat the B Team. And then Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins attacked them after the match. Because they got into it earlier in the show, the Shield was actually supposed to leave the arena. And it would have saved them from getting arrested, but they came back and they said, hey, we're not the Shield. I'm Dean Ambrose and this is Seth Rollins. We're not the Shield. We don't have that gear on and all that shit. So fuck you talking about. And then they brought another cop in there and they, man, it was whatever. Anyway, after that, Kevin Owens attacked Tyler Breeze and revealed why he returned to WWE. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable defeat the Ascension. The Raw Women's Champion, Ronda Rousey and Natalya defeated Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. And then she said that after the match, because she was asked by Charlie Caruso, yo, you hurt, your ribs are fucked up. Like, are you going to be able to compete at Hell in a Cell? She was like, what the fuck you talking about? Yeah, I'm going to compete at fucking Hell in a Cell. Because I'm dope even when I'm fucking hurt. Shit, I'm still that motherfucker, and I'm still gonna whoop somebody's ass and shit. So, you know, that's what she told Charlie Caruso. Charlie Caruso just kind of ate that shit and walked away like, oh, all right, fucking my bad. Threw her hands up like, you got it. And then after that, Elias, I walk with him, was in the ring and shit, you know, and kind of singing a song or whatever. And then Mick Foley come out. Then Mick Foley goes out, you know, he talk about how, you know, he'll be a special guest referee for the Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman match and all that shit. And then he says, since the Constable's kind of busy and shit like that, you know, I can make one match, you know. And so why not make a match between you, Elias, and this guy? And that guy ended up being Finn Balor. Finn Balor go up to beat Elias. And then after that, the Universal Champion is, well, he was already before this, was looking for Roman Reigns, found Roman Reigns, attacked Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns got the upper hand and did a small drop on the table, on the announce table. So that's how Raw ended. And that, my friends, was Raw from Niles at the Smoothie Center. Yep. What was your Raw, sir?
No.
You can be honest.
Sometimes it's hard.
You can be honest and say you don't have one.
Listen, I got a speech, sir. If you let me finish.
My bad, man. I'm just saying, I ain't want you to beat around the bush. You didn't like the show, you didn't like the show.
No, I mean, I didn't. I didn't enjoy the show. I feel like, you know, these go-home shows, man, they come in, and it's like they got a cocky attitude. To me, they're like the Detroit Lions last night. You come in thinking you're about to do something, and you did nothing. There should have been more, but there was a silver lining for me. I was fairly entertained by Finn Balor going against Elias. I thought, as much as we've seen this match over and over, to me, it was a really, really good match, and I appreciated the effort from both. I was entertained. Could I have done without that match? Definitely. But nevertheless, Finn Balor, I feel like, always delivers. Regardless of the repetitive nature of the matches, he always has something to bring to the table. And I thought Elias put on a very, very entertaining match during a very, very lackluster Raw.
Ah, man, that's a hot tag. I'm with you. Actually, this was my Raw. It was the best match on the show. It was the best thing going on the show. I guess Probably because there was no storyline really tying in between these two. So it's just like, whatever. Only the other thing that I liked that happened on the show, more than that, because it had me cracking up, laughing and shit, was Leo Rush, the man of the hour,
and the
Bobby Lashley segment. That shit was hilarious, man. I love that segment. I honestly think that maybe it would be a good idea if Leo Rush actually manages Bobby Lashley. Because I think he can manage Bobby Lashley plus still do his 205 Live thing. I think that's possible. If you can have... what? Yeah. So, I think if you can have... what's the dude name? Drake Maverick, whatever his name is. Yeah, I think if you can have him manage and also be a GM, shit, then why not have Leo Rush do the same thing? That's all I'm saying. Well, he won't be a GM, but you're still wrestling.
He'd be a decent manager. I agree.
Yeah, I actually like that. Plus, I think it'd be good for Bobby because he can't really speak on the mic like that.
You know? Right.
So, I think that might be a direction they need to just kind of look at.
I mean, I'm wondering why they did it. If it's not leading anywhere, was it just to be funny? Was it like a variety show skit? So maybe they'll do something with it. That'd be dope.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. What was your bad, sir?
You know, I'm gonna just have to say it. Because I did a poll yesterday. Nobody cares about Triple H versus The Undertaker. And I feel like they're forcing it to be this huge deal. And it's like, it's just not. It's just not. And though the storyline behind it or the idea behind it is, you know, it is what it is. I can't. It's not good. A match could have gone in the place of this. You could have built another storyline. AOP could have actually gone against real competition instead of another fucking squash match. But instead, we get a long promo that it wasn't horrible by Triple H, but it's like, we don't care. Nobody cares. And so that's the problem I have with it. That's why it's my bad. Because I get it. For Australia, it might be a huge thing. But it's just not. It's just not what it is. I don't know about you. I have no interest in this whatsoever.
Yeah, look, here's my thing on that, man. I think you made the point without actually making the point for Australia. This is something that, you know, man, they gonna want to see it. You know what I mean? So we can't take that from them or whatever, you know. Remember, they don't get to see these type of matches. They never got to see Triple H versus Undertaker, you know. So they're going to get matches. When they go to these places like Saudi Arabia, like Australia, or whatever other place that they don't normally go to, you got to expect that they're going to give them wrestlers and matches that they just have never seen before. And stuff. I don't have a problem with it. That's why this wasn't in my raw, bad, and or ugly and stuff like that. But I get your point, where you're coming from. And they messed it up with having Shawn Michaels come out and speak on that. And
you know what they're doing though.
And then
moving to the Saudi Arabia show where Undertaker is going to go against Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was about to get to.
My bad.
So, and then they later on about to build to this match and have Shawn Michaels wrestle one last time, Undertaker. Probably Shawn Michaels take out Undertaker and make that Undertaker's very last match. At least that's what I hope. I don't want to see Undertaker in anybody's ring anymore unless he's just talking on the mic and for nostalgia reasons. I don't need him wrestling. I'm just not entertained by The Undertaker anymore. Not to take away his place from history in wrestling. One of the greatest to ever do it. But Sometimes, man, it's time to hang up those boots.
You gotta go.
Yeah, sometimes it's time to hang them up, man. But my bad, and the only reason why it's my bad is because it's definitely not ugly and stuff like that. The mattress is actually pretty decent. I just didn't like the outcome, and that was Nikki Bella going over on Ruby Riott. And here's my explanation on this. Let me ask you something real quick. To build a feud or to build a rivalry, doesn't it have to be two-sided? Meaning, doesn't this person have to win, but then this person has to win, and then kind of trade victories in order to build a feud or a rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. So what the fuck are we doing then? I don't understand. Because I don't need Nikki just to be wrestling. And then she's going to be beating on Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad just because you want to give her something to do up until the Women's Evolution pay-per-view or whatever. I'm not down with that. I rather them build a feud, especially if you end up having them have a match at the Women's Revolution. I think that's what's going to end up happening at some point. So I don't need to see Nikki Bella going over on Ruby Riott when it wasn't, I don't think it was necessary. I think the way they went about it was all fucked up, because what happened to Sarah Logan? Liv Morgan can get in the ring and try to distract Nikki or whatever, and then Brie comes, she fuck her up or whatever and shit like that. But then, where the fuck was Sarah Logan? Where was the numbers game in this whole thing? And you know, I just don't like that, because I'm already trying to be convinced that I can believe in Brie Bella, and even though I know she fucking is trash. So I'm trying to convince myself as to how can these two overcome the numbers and actually pull out a victory. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't like it. But my problem is more of the fact that I need you to build a rivalry or a feud between Nikki Bella and Ruby Riott. So then I was like, okay, when Nikki actually comes out on top of this feud, I'm not going to be as pissed. But if you make this whole thing one-sided, then what's the point? Now you're wasting my time. Nikki Bella fine, motherfucker, but I don't give a shit about seeing her on my TV. I did not miss her when she was in the WWE ring. I just didn't. I didn't miss her. And I, for one, give her more credit than most people do. I give her way more credit than most people do. Most wrestling fans. Most pro wrestling fans. I give Nikki Bella more credit. But I'm not going to sit there and say, because you know you got your Nikki Bella fans, period, and shit. They go hard for her or whatever. But as far as pro wrestling goes, I give Nikki Bella more credit than most. So for me to sit here and tell you, look, I need to see something different. I need to see you build something. I think that's not too much to ask. I don't know. What you think?
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head like that. That is definitely the truth, but it's become how they do things in WWE, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm supposed to just assume that, you know, even though the Bellas have been out for, you know, a while and all that, they're, you know,
and I can back understand,
in the spotlight.
And see, look, and I can understand that victories are going to come.
And that's just how it goes.
Yeah. And I can understand that victories are going to come. I can understand that. But to me, I think if you're trying to build something, build it. You know, it can't be one-sided, because now if you make it one-sided, then it was like, who was it that it was recent too? They had a few, but this person just kept winning. And when that shit come to me, I'm gonna let you know. But I just remember it was a feud. Somebody, they were in a feud, but it was one-sided the whole time. The other person wouldn't ever win. And then, oh, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the reason why that feud ended up being so fucking trash, despite the fact that we ended up getting Walker Matt Hardy out of that shit, that feud became so trash because Bray was just, even when he became Walker Matt, Bray was just winning. He was winning. He was beating him. So it was just like, so what we do this for? We got a whole different persona, and yet Bray is still winning. It was up until, later on, I think when Matt Hardy finally got his victory or whatever, then they kind of changed it. Bray and Matt Hardy became a tag team and all that bullshit and stuff like that. Rest became history. But that feud, I think we all shitted on for a while. We shitted on that feud. But anyway, what was your ugly, sir?
My ugly was the closing to Raw. That's the best you can do. Get me excited. I mean, I'm all for Mick Foley being the special referee. It actually makes sense for him to be the referee in the Hell in a Cell. But what they did to kind of build my, what's the word I'm thinking of? Build my want to see this match was nothing. They didn't do anything. A Samoan drop through the stage. How many times have we seen way worse?
Yeah.
How many times has Brock or Roman tried to murder the other? And the best idea you came up with, let's do a Samoan drop thing off of the table through the stage, and that'll leave everybody like, oh, what are they going to do at Hell in a Cell? It just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
There's got to be more depth to Braun's character than, well, you go get these hands. Well, I'm going to break everything and throw people around. Like, there's got to be more.
Right.
You know, like, one example I have is, how Rusev kind of, for a while there, kind of fell off because he was the same, like, to his character. And now we have Rusev Day and all that, and, you know, there's more to it, but this is kind of what I see with Braun. Like, I felt like they were onto something when he was a face, and fine, to turn him to a heel, what you do, but at this point, you also have to build onto his character. There's got to be more than just get these hands and, you know, yelling around the building and breaking shit. Like, it just, I don't know, it just didn't do anything for me. And I feel like on a go-home show, you gotta make me want to watch. And all this time you weren't making me want to watch, and you had your chance, and you still did nothing.
Yeah. I'm definitely with you on that, man. But it wasn't my ugly. But I definitely feel you on that. Honestly, I know it shouldn't be said. I think it's probably overlooked and nobody cares or whatever. But that's the AOP going against jobbers. These are some big dudes that by now, since they came up, should have been some type of title contention. And this is the problem with putting titles on singles wrestlers and stuff like that. It takes away from their tag teams. I say this on multiple occasions that I hate that they take away from their tag teams and do stuff like this. But I think the better alignment just should have been AOP and Braun. Why not? Braun can speak. He does a pretty good damn job on the mic. You know, you got two big dudes who also looking to get noticed. And what better way to actually accelerate and push a tag team than in this fashion? You got the Shield, and then you got these two big ass dudes that's looking to make a name for themselves. You got Braun going after Universal title. Well, shit. We got a good story right there. And then you could allow Seth to still deal with the issues that he got with Dolph Ziggler. So then now the Shield is just outnumbered. They got to deal with Dolph because Dolph put his IC title back because we haven't even mentioned the IC title or whatever. But Dolph wants his IC title back. You got these two dudes who are like, fuck that. We want to be on the fast track. We up and coming. We dope as shit. We dominated NXT. We want to come up here and dominate here. I just don't get how, you know, how they missed this opportunity. I think that was an opportunity. If you're going to team some people up, why not have it be AOP? Yeah. Let's show how much we can make a name for ourselves by going against a former tag team champion in Seth Rollins. See if we can make a name for ourselves to go against a former United States plus WWE champion and all that shit. And a tag team champion in Dean Ambrose. Like, how about we go that route? Let these dudes make a name for themselves against some of the top tier people. But guess what? They're actual tag team now. They forgot how to be a tag team. And voila, we easy build for AOP. That's just my take, man. So to have them go against some jobbers and shit like that, and I actually don't even like Drake Maverick as their manager right now. Maybe that shit's just going to have to grow on me. We'll see if that does. But I got to see something different. I got to see them do something different with AOP because I think they're too good of a tag team for you to mess up. They're just way too damn good. So hopefully they get that shit right.
I agree.
Yep. All right. What would you rebook? Let's do some armchair booking on this show. Where are you rebooking?
I'm definitely rebooking the end. I honest to God, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into what I would do different when I was thinking about it, but that's the thing I would pick. And again, it has to be more. It's your main event, right? It's Roman Reigns versus Braun. This is supposed to be the, you know, the Triple H versus Stone Cold of this generation.
Yep.
But that's the idea behind it. I know it's not living up to that, but that's the idea behind it. Like, these guys are eternal enemies type thing, you know? And, there just has to be more, than just a Samoan drop through the stage. Because we've seen, that's why you can't do these things that they do on a weekly basis where you have Braun attacking, you know, Roman Reigns and almost killing him, and Roman Reigns doing stuff that would kill normal people. But then I'm supposed to believe all this damage and harm has been done by a Samoan drop. So if your trend is incredible feats of strength and doing crazy stuff, then that should have been the direction you've gone. A spear off the stage through something. Fire. I don't know what. You got to do something. Something different. Drop the cell, Hell in the Cell or something. I don't know. They fight outside somewhere and start throwing each other in the chain link fences. Something. That was weak as hell.
Yeah.
So that's what I would book. A better ending. Something that will make me care about Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, well, I think they tried to give you that with Mick Foley saying that he's going to be the referee in that match.
But that doesn't make me care about their match. That just, cool.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. This has been some of the worst writing for Braun Strowman that we've seen in recent history. It's just, and we've gone through the superhuman Braun Strowman, but this is just, this leading up to Hell in a Cell has just been bad writing. And it's a shame because you got so many dope ass wrestlers that's involved in this and everything. That the writing has been so bad. And the crazy part is, you got, what is Paul Heyman doing back there? Like, did he forget wrestling? Or are they not listening to him? I don't know. It's one of the two. Because I'm just trying to figure out, you know, you add him to the team. And I'm telling you, man, we getting our worst. Like, even every once in a while, you know, Raw will sneak one in there that was just good. I'm thinking right now, dude, we getting our worst string of just Raws. They have just been so god-awful that it's hard to watch. It's just been hard to watch. I'm telling you, I sit here, because I work a different shift now. So I sit there, I watch wrestling, and I fall asleep to it every time. I don't have that problem when I watch SmackDown. I don't have that problem when I watch NXT. I don't have that problem when I watch an indie show, whatever the case may be. But when I watch Raw, it's snoozeville, dog. I go to sleep. I fall asleep. And I stay up late Mondays. Because I play cards and all that shit. But I can't do it. I just can't do it. I cannot stay awake and watch Raw. For whatever fucking reason. Well, we know the reason. Because it's been trash. It's just been that trash. And maybe I'm just... Maybe there's been a time where there's been a longer string of Raws that just been god-awful. But for me, in recent history, I'm living in it now. And this has been the worst string of Raws that I've just watched. Doesn't even make me excited for Hell in a Cell. I'm not excited for it.
I didn't realize that it's Sunday.
Right. Hell in a Cell is Sunday. It's crazy. That's how bad it's been. If I'm rebooking anything, and I'm just going off of the now, not going off of what they may try to do in the future or whatever, just off the now. I'm having an ascension go over on Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. Why? Because it goes back to what I was talking about with Nikki Bell and Ruby Riott. Build a feud. You could always have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable come out on top. But build a feud. Because what are you going to do? Are you going to fast track Bobby Roode and Chad Gable? Or is this leading to a Bobby Roode turning on Chad Gable and now we finally get a heel Bobby Roode on the main roster?
No, they can keep them together, man. I think that could go somewhere, but
yo, but that's another conversation for another day. But then, if that's what they're doing, I need them to do something different. I just need them to. And plus, man, it's time. The ascension. We talk about the losing streak of what's old boy name? Matt Hawkins.
Oh yeah, Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins. Yeah, we talk about the losing streak of them, But what about this losing streak of the ascension? The ascension, I don't think have won in any recent history. Since they first started the main roster, once they started losing, man, them motherfuckers been losing. Motherfuckers don't win for shit. They get in the ring and they job and they too fucking good. Those dudes are good. And this is what WWE does with good talent. Oftentimes. And that's a problem. Sometimes, then simplify your shit. Do you need a 3-hour show? And if so, then how about you use this 3-hour show to showcase other talent besides your main talent that you want to push? Sometimes, hey, a promo here and there, got them off TV, but look, you creating a great product because you got these people wrestling. That goes a long way, man. And I feel like that's a lost art. It's just been forgotten in WWE. Because remember the days of Raw just being an hour long. They wasn't able to do what they can do now. You couldn't have Macho Man Randy Savage on Raw every fucking week. You couldn't have Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon. You couldn't have these dudes on Raw every single damn week. because it was only an hour show. But guess what? It never took away from the greatness of Shawn Michaels, because I didn't get to see him every week. It didn't take away the greatness of Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, all these dudes that come and gone in WWE. It didn't take away from their greatness because I didn't see them every week. All it did was make me miss them and wish I could see them. Like, oh shit, man. And then, look. Oh fuck, Ultimate Warrior coming out tonight? Hell yeah. It got hyped. You know, as years gone and I got older and I realized how trash Ultimate Warrior was, but that's beside the point. The point was, as a kid though, I was an Ultimate Warrior mark. And when that motherfucker came out on a week that I was happy, because we didn't have DVRs, shit, you had to make sure you be watching Raw. You got to be watching it to see who's about to come out. And if you missed it, you just missed that shit. Because you couldn't go back. I mean, if you were lucky enough to have a VCR to record and shit like that, hey, more power to you. I wasn't that rich. We didn't have money like that, man. Remember, VCRs used to cost like, shit, $500. Get you one of those things. Shit. But that's all I'm saying, man. Like, we don't always have to see everybody every single week and shit. But, you know, I don't know what to say about it, man. That's just how bad Raw been, that I'm just going on a rant now. I better stop before I keep going. I just need to see something different. That's all. And my thing is, I would like to see the Ascension go over, build a feud, build the rivalry. And then when you start pushing the Ascension, we know where it came from. Because we like, oh shit, look, they had this great match with Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. So now we see where this is coming, where it's coming from. Them dudes have always been on the cusp. It's like the Bulls. Like, we was like, yo, they there. They there. Look, can they get over this bad boy's Pistons? Remember, that's what it was. It's like, ooh, they there, though. So let's see, can they do it? You know? And when it happened, it wasn't no shock, though, to people. It was just like, oh, man, but we seen them coming. We seen Jordan coming. And it could be the same thing, man. Always build these competitive matches and have them have a few, and then when we start to see the push come, we know where it's coming from. WWE don't like to do that shit, man. I don't know why. It's rather irking, but whatever. Anyway, moving on. That'll do it for our portion of our RBU. We're not going to do a Let's Talk Wrestling this week. We're just going to go ahead and go straight to these motherfucking quick hits of a Hell in a Cell preview. I will start top, bottom to top. I'm assuming that we're probably going to get a 205 Live pre-show match. You know, we're going to have a couple of pre-show matches, but none of them are actually listed so far yet. So, first up, we got the Raw Tag Team Champions, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Is it going to be a Shield night? Or is it going to be the War Dogs or whatever they call themselves?
The Dogs of War.
Dogs of War.
I think it's going to be Ziggler and McIntyre.
All right. I think if it's going to be Ziggler and McIntyre, I'm just going to tell you my pick right now. I think it's going to be Braun Strowman winning the Hell in a Cell match against Roman Reigns.
I think what the fuck? How do you skip over stuff?
I'm just going to put that out there right now. My bad.
Okay.
My bad. I didn't really. My bad. Hold on. I got Seth and Dean. Actually win it.
Okay.
And then I think you're going to see Seth drop that IC title at some point. But that's my pick. All right, next we got Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton in a Hell in a Cell match.
Randy Orton.
Yep, I got Randy Orton too. You know, I would like to see Jeff Hardy actually win this match. Next, you got Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. Oh my God.
I think it'll be Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, because They're going to push Brie going into Evolution, and then Daniel Bryan will get his win back from SummerSlam.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we got the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch.
Becky.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. The way WWE has been booking lately, they haven't necessarily... Because one, I think it's too soon to take the belt off Charlotte Flair, but that's just me personally. The way WWE has been booking lately, they book these matches in like threes. So I can see Becky very well winning, but not actually winning a title. Or I can see Becky Lynch getting disqualified, or Charlotte wins, but then that builds up the next match. Up until Becky actually takes the title off of her. So let's see. But I'm going to go Charlotte. I'm going to go Charlotte Flair retaining the title. That's how I'm going to put it. I'm going to go Charlotte Flair retaining the title. After that, we got the Raw Women's Champion, Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss.
Ronda Rousey.
Yep, Rousey too. Yeah, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Samoa Joe.
I think it's time. I think it's time now. I think they need to put the belt on Samoa Joe before AJ Styles gets stale again. I think it's time to just let him do his thing. You know, kind of try to get the title back off of Samoa Joe, but lose again. And then, you know, let him feud with some other people, you know, without
the title. To be honest, unfortunately, I think the reason why Samoa Joe wins is because AJ Styles, Vince loves AJ. He's gone on record, and Vince never really says when he makes mistakes, but he's been on record a couple different interviews saying he made a mistake by not signing this guy a long time ago, talking about AJ. So I think what he wants to do
is get the most out of him, probably.
In WWE, it's about how many times you had it. So however many times he can have AJ win that belt, he's going to. So as long as he has viable people to challenge him and it's entertaining per se, I feel like that's why you're going to see Samoa Joe win the belt, just so AJ can get it off of him and he triumphs and that, because that's how Vince looks at it.
Okay, yeah. You got the Universal Champion Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. Hell in a Cell match with Mick Foley as the special guest referee.
Roman Reigns.
Yep, I got Roman too. And I said last week, I don't know if you listened to RBU yet.
I did.
Okay, so you already know how I feel about if Roman loses. I just don't want to see it happen. And I don't even like Roman. But I don't want to see this happen. And I think
we don't need to see Roman go on the road to the title again.
Huh? Yeah, right.
I said we don't need to see Roman on the road to the championship again. We've seen it.
Right, yeah. I don't need to see that again. I just let him have his run, you know. It ain't time for Braun to take the title off. If you wanted to put that title on Braun, you should have did it already. And I don't want to see Roman go in here and lose his match. I honestly would be kind of pissed. Like, you know, I'd be indifferent, I should say. I won't feel satisfied either way, I guess. But if I had to lean towards one way, it's just I don't want to see Roman lose this title. Let him have his run. He's going to, even when he loses the title anyway, he's going to give chase. You probably going to knock him down a peg or two, but he's always going to be in the picture, much like how John Cena was always in the picture, you know. And since we already know this, just let him have his run. So then when you do knock him down, you know, maybe that run won't last. The chase won't last. Will last a lot longer, I should say. Maybe the chase for the new title will last a little longer. And, you know, we get some new people in there, like Braun winning, KO, Finn, you know, winning the title versus it just being on Roman Reigns the whole time. So I'd just rather him have his run, get knocked down a peg or two. We already know he's going to be in a title contention no matter what. He's going to win that title about 17 times, maybe 18. Probably going to top John Cena when John Cena comes back and breaks Ric Flair's record, which is a shame because I guarantee you the day Roman beats John Cena's record of most title wins, heavyweight title wins, I should say, or universal, that's going to be a sad day because you don't give two fucks about records. And what Ric Flair has done, and even with John Cena, with what they have done, because you have to remember, for a while, John Cena wasn't just being forced down our throat and stuff. He actually earned his way there. And then started being forced down our throats. Roman has always just been forced down our throats. So when he beats that record, then I think it's going to happen. Especially if Vincent Kennedy McMahon is still alive. Because I think that motherfucker going to stay alive till like he's 150, man. I believe Vince McMahon is 132 already any damn way. Shit, that motherfucker just stay in good shape. But as long as that dude is still alive and he can get Roman up to those titles, and now he can say he has a new greatest, that may happen. So, but anyway, that'll do it. I ain't got nothing
to say. Wait, one more match you forgot already.
Who?
New Day defending the SmackDown Championship against Rusev Day.
Well, I got New Day retaining. I just don't see why. I mean, I just don't see why you need to take the titles off them right now. Although, with this match, I wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Aiden English, first off, deserves it because they screwed them over anyway when he was with the Bar Villains. And I would like to see Rusev actually hold another title besides the United States Championship anyway. So, if this happens, I'll be happy. I won't be mad about it in anything, you know. Won't be one of those disappointing losses that I would take, you know, like the Bears this past fucking week. But anyway, that's neither here or there.
Yeah, I wasn't upset. I mean, I didn't expect them to beat the Packers, so I don't give a shit.
No, I didn't expect them to beat the Packers, but when they was on the cusp of beating the Packers, I was like, yo, okay,
nah,
let's do it. But then it was
Aaron Rodgers, bro.
No, I'm going to tell you what happened, man. Real quick. I'm going to tell you exactly the reason why they lost.
Real quick, because I'm hungry.
Because they didn't run that fucking ball. They run that ball on 3rd and 1, the Bears win that game. The Packers had no timeouts. Even if the Bears don't succeed in getting that first down, guess what? That clock is running. And when you can run 40 seconds off past that 2 minutes warning, now it puts more pressure on the Packers to do what they got to do. And so Aaron Rodgers can't just sit back there, or he couldn't sit there and try to hurry up and fling that shit, because it makes the game different now. When you sit there and you have 2+ minutes to go now, because the Bears fucked up, you know, that going to allow you to... You got to remember, when the Bears got the ball, I think they still had like 2-something minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying, you run that damn timeout. Because think about it. If you get the first down, now the game over with. Because all you do is kick a nice little chip shot and the game over with. Unless you get unlucky like Cleveland and get your shit blocked and then you end in the tie. But whatever. You know? Well, they wouldn't end in the tie. I think they was up one at that point or something like that. But whatever. Anyway, that game upset me, and I'm going to leave it alone. And with that said, Be sure to check out 1515 after all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just type in 1515 Nav and you'll find the podcast such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Wrestling Roundtable, Studio Flow, and an MWT podcast. And if you want to just go straight to our podcast, you like fuck the mother motherfuckers, just type in wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, Roundtable. You'll get the GTS podcast along with the RBU podcast. And I promise you, I ain't forget. You're going to get that All In podcast. Because we were all in.
All in.
All and in. Hopefully, we're all in too. Hopefully. Fucking Cody Rhodes trolling motherfuckers and shit. I got a big announcement. Oh, I'm writing a book. Man, fuck you motherfuckers. We want to hear if you threw All In too. Shit. That's what we want to hear. But shout out to Cody, man. Doing another book, adding on to what the Young Bucks did. They've already wrote their children's books, and now he's doing his thing. So he doing big things, man. What this dude has done since he's left WWE is nothing short of amazing. I'm just saying. It's nothing short of amazing. But anyway, with that said, it's me. Oh, don't forget to click on the Amazon banner. Go support the site. And now, with that said, it's me, Steel the Pearl.
It's Miller.
And we out.